Right, thank you, ladies. What a tremendous song, and very, very applicable. And I appreciate that. And Greg did a great job this morning, and you can tell he got a promotion. He got to do the offering tonight. And I thought he was going to take a different tact. I thought he was going to say, "And you regulars, give." And I was just waiting for that. Usually we tell guests they don't have to give, and we figure maybe a good reminder for us regulars. But I appreciate that, and good message this morning. Really blessed by that, and I'm really glad that we're able to just glean from the Lord this morning. And what a great challenge for us as God's people, as we recognize the times that we live in. And what a need that is to just be faithful in preaching the gospel and being a witness at this time. And for those of you who've just been praying for Andrew, please continue to pray. And my wife was on the phone with Nicole this afternoon, and she mentioned how much peace that she's felt over the course of the last couple of days, and certainly just understands that that's because God's people, both here in different places, have been praying. And so please continue to pray and just seek the Lord on behalf of Andrew and his family. And again, we'll keep you up to date as far as how he's doing. And you know, the man's so diligent. He mentioned to Jen, his sister, who's there with him, to just remind us to please close up the classrooms and all of that. And so he's still thinking ministry, just can't help himself. But just continue to pray for him. And we certainly, already in the, just even the last couple of days, we've missed him just being around. But just a great morning this morning. I wanted to just encourage you, church, that the gospel still works. And someone got saved this morning. Praise the Lord for that. So Ray, who's here with us tonight, praise God. He called on the Lord this morning. And so what a wonderful blessing that is. And so let's pray for he and Alicia and baby Jordan. And let's just, just continue on, because God can still save. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 7 this evening. And just wanted to mention those things just to encourage you. And just going to pick it up here in verses 1 to 10. And Jesus is now entering into Capernaum, which, when you look at the ministry life of Jesus, really became the center of his ministry. It really became his home base. And Capernaum was on the western shores of the Sea of Galilee. He had just come from the mount, and he had just spoken to the multitude there of the beatitudes and the different woes, and he had just chosen his 12. And in chapter 6 we see all of that. He had just come from the mount, and he had just come down and had seen the multitude and all of the different needs of the multitude. And so now he's coming back, entering into Capernaum, into what will be his home base after a time of ministry. And he finds himself immediately met with a dire need that was being requested by some. So let's pick it up there, and we're going to look at a couple of things here as we think about the Lord Jesus this evening. In verse 1, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And notice this, a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die." And so we see that as he enters into the city, he gets note that there's a certain centurion's servant. And we see that a centurion was a significant, really, person in society. We understand that a centurion was not just, he wasn't really someone that you would regularly see in a Jewish setting, but in this time of history, they were being occupied by the Romans, and the centurion was really there as an employee of the state. And typically, in a Jewish setting, that those who were employed by the Roman government weren't very popular with the people, but there was something different about this centurion, and we're going to read that in a little while. But a centurion was really the principal professional officer in the armies of ancient Rome and its empire. Okay, the centurion was a commander of a centuria, which was the smallest unit of a Roman legion, And the centurion was nominally commanded about 100 men. And within a legion, there was about 60 centurions. And so they were people of great responsibility. They were actually people of great means. The centurions were well known generally in the areas that they served in as people who had great command and great position, and probably in many ways were generally envied. It's estimated by most historians that centurions made about 20 times the wages of the average person in that day. So they were considered well off. They were considered in many ways untouchable. They were considered in many ways as people that really, really could be looked up to and had the means to overcome any situation, any problem. And yet what we find here is with this centurion is that he's going to ask for help. He had a servant who was in great need. And so the Bible continues in verse 3, "And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant." So he goes to the elders of the Jews. The elders of the Jews in this setting here is generally a group of men who represented the city. In some cases, there were about 70 of them who represented different areas. And so this particular city of Capernaum was represented by these elders of the Jews. And so the centurion goes to these elders to make a request for him on behalf of his servant to Jesus. So he goes through official chains here. And notice what they say in verse 4, "And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this." Notice their point of argument. They said to Jesus as he comes into the township of Capernaum, "You need to do this because he's worthy. You need to hear his request because he's worthy of this." And it's interesting the reason why they give here of his worthiness in verse 5. "Why? For he loveth our nation and he hath built us a synagogue." This was something different about this centurion who was a Gentile, who was a non-Jew. There was something about him that set him apart from other centurions that found him worthy in the sight of these religious, these elders of the Jews. It was the fact that he was one who helped the nation and built synagogues. He was someone who wasn't only fulfilling a duty, he was someone who he understood that to be part of that society, he used his influence and his means to be a blessing to God's people. He was someone who loved their nation. It wasn't just a profession. He wasn't just there to throw his weight around and to throw his position around. No, their estimation of him was he was worthy because he loved their nation. He was a positive contributor. He was someone that actually made a difference. And in fact, to the point that he was even supportive of the faith, of seeing the Bible in their localities being taught in that context, synagogues. And so they come to Jesus with this argument to him, "You need to hear him out and help his servant because he's worthy." But notice as we continue to read along, "Then Jesus went with them." And so Jesus didn't reject this, didn't rebuff this line of thinking. He actually agreed to it. He went with them. "And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself." Notice the centurion's attitude though. "For I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man that set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard these things, notice what the Bible says, he marveled at him. So Jesus considers what this man says, and he marveled at this centurion. Again, a Gentile. a non-Jew, someone who, generally speaking, was not popular in that employment, someone who generally, but there was something different about this centurion. In fact, it got to the point he marveled at him and turned him about. Jesus turns and he says unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. There's a lot of interesting things happening in this passage of Scripture. What we see here was really the person who was in great need had no means to get the help that he needed. He was sick. In fact, the Bible tells us carefully that this particular servant was sick unto death. There was a real risk. There was a real consequence for this man. And he was in dire straits, as we would say it. This was someone who really was in many ways bedridden and couldn't do a thing about his condition. And yet there was someone who cared enough. There was this centurion who cared enough that he would approach the elders of the Jews, those ones who represented the city, to make a representation to a greater authority. In fact, the greatest authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something about this that we start to begin to understand, that Jesus pays attention, that Jesus considers worthy of his time worthy to help this particular servant. And it wasn't for the servant's sake, actually, but it was for the sake of those who were making representation to Jesus for him. And don't underestimate the power of our representation for others. Don't underestimate that if we would approach Jesus with the needs of others, that he wouldn't be willing to listen to our prayers. You know, I was preparing this message, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I wasn't sure. I had sort of prepared this and was ready to. And I just thought about the context that we're in right now. We have someone that we hold dear that is in great need. And I just began to think about the fact that many times we can feel a little bit unmotivated to come to the Lord about the need of others. And maybe in some ways we start to estimate whether it's worth it, whether this thing is worthy of Jesus' attention, whether this thing is worth it enough, or if we have enough faith to believe that Jesus is able to make a difference. And sometimes the thing that stops us, and sometimes the thing that really hinders us from approaching Jesus the way these people approached him, was perhaps we have a lack of understanding of God's ability to help, or we think we can do it in our own strength. You know, I thought about this. I thought about the fact that this centurion was a great man. He was someone who, again, as I mentioned earlier, had all of the earthly resources available to him. This was a person of great influence. This was a person who, in many ways, probably in everyone else's estimation, had no problems. He was probably someone in many ways, people thought, you know what, he could probably solve his own problems. You know, I mean, he has enough riches. He's got 20 times more wages than everyone else. And yet, there was something that touched a chord in the elders of the Jews enough that they would go to Jesus for him. And you know, sometimes we look at people and we can look at how they seem to have it all together. Sometimes we will get a prayer request and we might hear of a need and we might hear of something that concerns them, and you might look at someone and you might think, well, what do you need prayer for? I mean, you probably make more money than me. I mean, it seems like you've got more influence than I do. And sometimes our heart doesn't go out to those who we deem in many ways as having it too good and having it a little too well. And when they come with a problem, sometimes we don't have that heart to say, you know what, this person's worthy. And you know, the thing is this, what we learn from that is this, problems touch those that seem to be untouchable. You know, everyone at some point will encounter something they can't handle. Everyone at some point, regardless of how influential, regardless of how well off, regardless of how seemingly all together they've got it, will come to a place where they can't handle something and they must go to a higher authority. And you know, maybe you've never personally gone through that yourself. Maybe there's been many things that have come your way and seemingly you've been able to handle it. But you know, all of us here, even if we think we're untouchable, we're not. There's some things that'll come to our doorstep that we're going to find, we're going to need to call help for. And we're going to need to go even to those others who have perhaps some influence and some knowledge to go and just seek out their prayers and seek out their help. And it's interesting to me that this man who just seemed to have everything at his disposal had enough discernment and had enough humility to understand he needed to go to a higher authority. You know, the difference sometimes in us in coming to the Lord in with our needs is sometimes I think we can handle it ourselves. Sometimes we think we can do it. Sometimes we think we have the means. But you know, sometimes God has to bring us to a place of great need beyond what we can handle to just remind us who it is that is actually the authority. Who it is actually that has the greater power. Who it is that actually is the one that has the great strength. And this centurion, in observing the need of his servant, you know, the centurion didn't even really think about himself. He thought about this servant, and I thought about this centurion who really his heart went to one who was underneath him. Someone who wasn't at his level actually was serving him. And this centurion had enough humility and enough care for this one. And this is a great lesson actually in just good leadership. In that understanding that actually we ought to care for those who God has given us. And you know, there's some problems that are beyond us. There was this servant who was dear unto him who was sick. There was a feeling of powerlessness that this man of great power had over a situation. And the centurion understood that it was beyond him. You know, one of the great secrets to coming to the Lord and coming to Him in a right attitude is when we understand that there's some things that are beyond us. That there's some things actually we can't handle ourselves. That actually in all of our proficiencies, in all of our resources, in all of our strengths, actually ultimately we're weak. And ultimately we have no control over everything. And so some problems were beyond him. Some problems have real consequences. And we have to have this solved. And we have to have some sort of answer to this. And that's the reality of situations all over the world today. There's some physical, there's some legals, there's some emotional, there's some financial things that are out there that are needs, that are beyond, and they're real consequences. There's times where there's nothing we can do about it. And with these situations, we've got to appeal to a higher authority. See, the Bible tells us that this centurion, in verse 3, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews. You know, never come to the place where you can't ask for a prayer request. You know, there's times, I remember a couple of years ago, I was still in the youth ministry, and you know, we had youth ministry was going well. We were seeing young people saved, and honestly, life was great. I was a newlywed. We were having a great time serving God together as a young couple, and we were on it. We were seeing God do some great things, and you know, I'll be honest with you. I got to the place where I thought, you know, I had everything figured out. I got to a place where I just thought, you know what? Ministry, it's not that hard. And I began to look at that, and there was a pride welling up in my own heart. And I remember one particular afternoon, and I think I had preached on prayer that morning. And you know, I often would, in just sometimes even just conversationally, I would ask those young people, "Hey, is there anything you would like me to pray about? You know, is there something this week that you're gonna that's ahead? You know, you just need prayer over." It usually was an exam, right? Teenagers just think that's the biggest thing that's coming up in the horizon, their exam. And honestly, it's probably because they didn't study, all right? But they ask, "So, Pastor, pray for that or pray for this." And you know, generally speaking, I was happy to take the prayer request. But you know what caught me off guard one Sunday afternoon? A young person asked me, "Pastor, what would you like me to pray about?" It caught me off guard. And I'll be honest with you, in that moment, pride welled up. And you know, I actually said, "No, nothing." And you know, I went home, and the Spirit of God convicted me of my pride. And actually, there's a lot of things. And the Lord reminded me, you know what? You're just as needy as that young person fearing for his exam. And I remember texting back this particular young man. I said, "Hey," his name was Joel. I said, "Hey, Joel." I said, "Sorry about that. Actually, there are some things I'd like you to pray about." And you know, sometimes we get to a place in our lives where some of those who maybe we're serving over, some of those that maybe are underneath us in a way, would ask us a question like that, and we might think, "No, no, you don't need to pray for me." Listen, a great favor you can give anyone is if you would just simply allow them to pray for you. And this centurion understood that he had to go to a higher power, that he had to go to a higher authority, and the centurion came to a place that was beyond him, and perhaps not knowing how to reach Jesus directly, he sends for those who are intermediaries, and these elders of the Jews went and they beseeched, the Bible says, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Really, they were asking with great fervency. They were asking with great passion for this very thing. And notice again the reason that they give. Again, in verse 5, they said, "You should go and do this, for he loves our nation. He hath built us a synagogue." You know, I thought about the character of this particular centurion. And, you know, in the sight of others, he was worthy. And the way they define that and the way the Bible records it for us is that he was one who just wanted to make a difference. He made an impact on the nation, and he helped build some synagogues. He helped build up the place of worship, the place of God's word being taught. And I thought about that, how you know, sometimes we can look at that, and sometimes the only reason people will pray for us is because maybe we've made a difference in their lives. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want people to not have a reason to pray for me. I want people to have every reason to pray for me. You know, initially, again, as I was studying this passage of Scripture, initially I thought about that in a negative sense. Initially I thought, you know, that's not how Jesus saw it. But, you know, really carefully read the text. Jesus went with them. He didn't rebuff this line of reasoning. He didn't go, no, that's not how you define worthiness. But initially, from a surface level, we do see it that way. You know, it's those that mean something to us because they've made a difference in our lives that we do pray for much more. And Jesus didn't rebuff that. He actually went with them. And here's what I'm saying is I want to be the type of person that when there's a need in my life and there's a dire need, I want people to go, "You know what? He's worthy to pray for. You know what? I will pray for him. You know what? There's a need, and I appreciate this man, he's been a help to he's made a difference to my family. He's built God's work." And you know, that was the estimation. And we understand man looks on the outward appearance and God sees the heart. And we're going to see that later on, how really those two things are true. But I'd rather be seen and I'd rather be known as someone who adds than someone who takes away. I'd rather give everyone every reason to pray for me and every reason to give me the time to bring me before the Lord. And I hope that we would be motivated by that. I hope that we would have a heart just like this centurion, who, by the way, again, later on, Jesus said had great faith. I hope that we would be contributors. I hope that we would be seen as those that not only has a dire need, but actually in the estimation of others' sight is worthy for the help. And they came to Jesus and said and beseeched him and said, he's worthy. Why? He loves our nation and he's built us a synagogue. And verse 6, then Jesus went with them. And we see that Jesus' motivation was that he would go and he would be a help to these ones. They presumed the centurion's worthiness, and Jesus agrees. He goes on their recommendation, on their representation. And often that's how we go to Jesus for others. We start to think about who they are and what they do and how they've contributed, and we appeal on those grounds to the Lord. And yet we understand that Jesus sees more, and we begin to see then that as Jesus goes, this man comes. And notice in verse 6, then Jesus went with them. So he gets close. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself. And notice how the centurion sees himself. And here's there's a juxtaposition here. They see him worthy, but he himself sees himself unworthy. It says, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. You know, what we start to begin to understand about this centurion was his good works, his love for the nation, and his building of the synagogue. It wasn't just to be because of eye service as men pleases. It wasn't because he wanted to win over votes. It wasn't because he didn't see himself as this someone who is a great contributor. No, actually he saw himself as someone who was not worthy. He saw himself as lowly. And that's how you know when someone is actually genuine about their service and their work for God, is actually they don't see much of themselves. They don't walk around thinking that they're great contributors. No, they see themselves actually not in the position that others see them. They see themselves as not worthy. There's a lowliness to this man. And what it was, Jesus begins to, in this small conversation, bring out something. He says, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But he understood something about Jesus, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. And you know what that is? It's faith. This man had great faith. And you know how he came to this understanding? It's because he understood authority himself. He understood that there's structures of authority. He understood that actually a man like himself who had authority was also a man set under authority. And that's why he can view himself really in comparison to who Jesus is, as someone who was not worthy. He saw himself as someone who had great need rather than had great solutions. He saw himself as someone who had great weakness rather than having great strengths. He saw himself as someone who actually in all of the things that he had as still empty and not worthy. Says, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. And he begins to elaborate in verse 8, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this and do that. He's saying, you know, at my level of authority and my level of influence I have under me. And again, we learnt 100 he commanded. When he said, jump, they asked, how high? Right? When he said, run, they went, how fast? And he understood that if he had that authority, then the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus himself, the Son of Man, could say in a word, and it'll be done. You know, I think sometimes we have a misunderstanding of authority. We think that when we have a level of authority in our lives, that somehow we've arrived. But actually, those who really understand authority see themselves as set under authority. That there's someone greater than them always. That actually what is given us is given us, but actually there's one who is greater, and he came to him, he went to the Lord Jesus. You know, many times we can, again, come in our own strength and our own power, and God in all of his goodness and all of his sovereignty and all of his grace to us gives us an amount of authority and influence in our lives, and we come to places sometimes where we forget where we belong in the chain of command when it comes to God's work and when it comes to God's dealings. And actually, we need to come and come under. And what we find here is that Jesus begins to see this man's mindset. And we find is that this man, in all of it, Jesus really was bringing out. And what he most commended and what Jesus saw actually was worthy was not this man's position, was not this man's patronage. It was actually his posture. You know, his posture was this. He was a man of humility. He saw himself as not worthy. In fact, he said to the Lord through those friends that he sent, he said, Lord, trouble not thyself. Lord, you don't need to come all this way. I know if you just say it, it'll be done. And you know, that humility, this was courtesy from the centurion. He didn't presume his problem was priority for such a one as Jesus. He just humbled. He had himself in right estimation. You know, often we presume because the problem or need is over us that it should be another's priority. But actually, it's just knowing that there's a God in heaven who hears us is often enough. And humility is something that God values above much. See, this man's humility demonstrated his willingness to trust. He said, but say in a word. So you don't even have to come all this way. Just say it in a word. You know, the words of Christ is enough. You know, hold on to a promise. Hold on to his claims for us. And that's enough. And humility was again demonstrated in his realization of the order of things. That although he was a man of authority, he was man under authority. And that he could come to one who was greater. And you know, he said that if you would just say a word, Jesus, then that'll be enough. But then what we see is that we see this man's faith. And that's what Jesus saw. That's what Jesus marveled at. And here we learn what matters to Jesus. You know, beyond this man's humility, what moved Jesus the most was this man's faith. And you know, humility and faith are linked. We see the lowliness that the centurion had was an indicator of his faith. And at times we approach Jesus with all of our personal qualifications. And you know what he's longing for is just a humility to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me to trust you. And he comes with this understanding that he was needy. And you know what? His faith was pointed at by Jesus. And he looks at the congregation, the multitude that was walking behind him. And he said, hey, guys, listen, check this out. You see this guy's faith? And that's what Jesus wants to highlight about this man. You know, Jesus wanted people to know what great faith looked like. And he pointed to the fact that this centurion who had a great need for another, had enough faith to just simply trust Jesus at his word. He didn't need the show. He didn't need Jesus, who already had multitudes follow him, coming to his house. He just needed Jesus' word. You know, sometimes we want Jesus to perform the miracle, but we want the show too. And we want the association and the accolade. But if you have a real need, and you come with a real sense of that need, then all you need is a word from God. All you need is his promises. And Jesus sees that and he says, you know, this man actually, he is worthy. He has faith. And this was a faith praised by Jesus. He says, I have not found so great faith. And interestingly, this people of faith, the Jews, no one compared to this Gentile, this centurion, actually who Jesus looked at and said he had great faith. No, not in Israel. And you know, Jesus wasn't exaggerating. Jesus saw what he saw. And Jesus heard what he heard. And no one in Israel, this nation of faith, could compare to the faith that was demonstrated by this lowly Gentile. And again, this was an important recognition by the author Luke. And he was a Gentile. He was an outsider. He was commended for great faith. And what I'm saying tonight is that actually humility and faith, that's what persuades Jesus. Because in the end, what we see in verse 10 is that he found the servant whole that had been sick. And what Jesus did, he showed mercy. What Jesus did was he recognized someone's faith. And maybe this week, as we consider the needs of others, we'd approach with an understanding of how Jesus looks at the needs that we bring before him. And we would approach him with a great humility, not a demand, but a great humility for the need. And a great faith, but without, he's able just by his word. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And this week, there might be some needs that you have. Maybe there's some, and we understand there's a great need that one of our families have. And we would just approach God with the understanding of firstly who they are, but then secondly who we are in the sight of God. And I hope that we would come with a great faith and a great humility. See, the centurion's servant was spared. Why? Because of the mercy of Jesus. This was someone who actually in the Lord Jesus' estimation had more faith, and he found no greater faith than this one. And I hope that we would come to the Lord and we would say, Lord, he's worthy of your help. But Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, help me in my time of need. Let's pray. And Father in heaven, we come before you. And Lord, thank you, dear God, that you are a God who, in all of your graciousness and all of your mercy, you hear us. And Lord, in our times of desperation, in our times where really we're in above our heads, dear God, you're able, Lord, in your mercy to look down. And in your power and in your might, just with a word, change the course of that. So I pray that you'd help us this week. Lord, we want to bring before you, dear Lord, just the need of your servant, Andrew Barnes. Lord, you know his heart for you. Lord, you know, dear God, what he's meant to this church family over the many years he's served. And we bring him before you because he needs you. And we ask, Lord God, for your healing touch. Father, we know, dear God, that you are the Almighty God, and Lord, we're nothing before you. And yet we ask humbly, dear God, that you would hear our prayers even tonight. So please, Lord, just go before us. I pray that you would just be pleased, and that you'd be honored in the things that will come to this week. We love you, Lord. We want to lift you up and praise you in Jesus' most precious, holy, wonderful name.